Colossians chapter 1, I draw your attention this morning to the verse 15, down to verse 17. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. The firstborn of every creature. Who is Jesus? Is a question that must be asked, and which we're asking this morning. And in this text that we commenced looking at last week, verses 15 through to 20, we have Paul's answer to that question. Who is Jesus? Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? And he goes on. And we have a literary gem here, whereby the person of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is unfolded to us by the pen of divine and heavenly inspiration. And there are three things in this paragraph about the Lord Jesus Christ, about his person. First of all, what he is in relationship to God. We considered that he's the image of the invisible God. And then what he is in relation to the creation. And that's where we are today. Firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created. And right down to the end of verse 17. And then in verse 18, we have him described for us in his relationship to the church, to God, to creation, and finally to the church. This morning we come to the second, what Jesus is or who Jesus is in relation to all the creatures and to God's creation. And in verse 15, you will observe that the Lord Jesus has two titles. Two wonderful titles of majesty. They are both titles setting forth his majesty in different ways. The first title we've considered, the image of the invisible God. But we come to the second title this morning, the firstborn of every creature. The firstborn. Now the first title, the image of the invisible God, is not explained. It is self-explanatory, and we looked at that last week. But you will notice that the second title is explained. Because there is that little word for in verse 16. The firstborn of every creature, for by him were all things created. So the apostle is not only giving this title of divine majesty to Christ, he's interpreting it for us. He's explaining it with that word for. And so we can't leave out verses 16 and 17. They're attached to that title. They join it. And it's very important. Because there have been heretics down through the ages who have forgotten about that word for. Or as we might translate it, because. They have ignored Paul's explanation, and they have come up with their own explanation, and they have said, he's a creature. He's the firstborn of every creature. Therefore, he must be a creature. And the heretics have translated it or interpreted that way. That is what Arians and Unitarians and Jehovah Witnesses believe. And they play down verses 16 and 17. And they play up this title, which they misinterpret. They say that Christ is a creature. made the image of God, and as such, the first created being. They say Christ is not of the order of deity, but made in the order of a creature. Though first, the first, the greatest, and the highest creature. And so the heretics interpret this to mean that Christ is the first man. If that is the meaning of this text, then our Saviour is not God over all, blessed forever. But that, thankfully, is not the meaning of this text. Paul explains the meaning of the title by using the word for, or because. I give him this title. I call him the firstborn of every creature because he made every creature. That's Paul's explanation of the title. So the title is not given a Unitarian explanation. The title is not given an Arian explanation or a Jehovah Witness explanation that he is an exalted creature. The title is given a Trinitarian explanation that he is a divine creator. Let us be clear about the person of Christ. Our creed says, begotten, not man. He's not man. He is not the firstborn in relation to God. He is that in relation to the creation, and we'll explain what that means in a minute. In relation to God, he is not the firstborn. In relation to God, he is the only begotten. Only begotten. Begotten, not made. The creed is right. All others are made. But he is eternally begotten. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, and he is eternally in the bosom of the Father. Because the Father didn't become a Father, he is the eternal Father with the eternal Son. The Word was made flesh, dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten. The only begotten of the Father. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten. He didn't give the first made creature. He gave his only begotten Son. And in his condescending to create, he is the firstborn of every creature. And in Paul's thinking, it is not that he is the first creature that he has called this. He has called this because he is the creator of every creature and has lordship and majesty over all creation. This just means he is the creator. The title for firstborn is highlighting his rank, his dignity. Not that he is first in order of time, that's not what it's saying here, but that he is the head, that he has the supremacy over all, that he is the first in rank, that he is the head of all creation, and he is the head because he is the creator. Let us see then the head of all creation as described here by Paul. There are four things that we want to consider in our text. First of all, Christ as the firstborn of every creature is the creator of all things. What does it say there in verse 16. By him were all things created. All things. And then again at the end of verse 16, a reminder. All things were created by him. He made everything. The verb is created. And the thing created is everything. And the one who created everything is Christ, the firstborn. He is then not a creature, for he created all things. If he is a creature among all those all things, how did he make himself? He's not created. He's made everything. He is outside of that, having made all of that. All things, John says, were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. Anything that is a creature, anything that had a beginning, anything that was made, whatever it is, from the highest creature to the lowest insect or cell, he made it. He made it. He is unmade, eternal, the maker of all things. He doesn't belong to creation. He is not part of it. He is creator. Creatures don't create. They are created. Creators are not created. They are creators. That's how Paul understands this title. He's the maker of all things. The word all or every is to be noted in this regard. Verse 15, the firstborn of every creature. By him were all things created. All things were created by him at the end of verse 16. So there is this emphasis on all things created are man. And those who say firstborn means first creature make verse 16 nonsensical. The great champion of the doctrine of the Trinity and the great opponent of Arius, the Unitarian Athanasius, he expounded this text rightly. And he confounded the Arians in his exposition of this text. And he called them, because of their handling of Colossians 1 verses 15 and following, he called them, because of the way they handled this text, thoughtless people. He told them their interpretation was manifestly absurd and that they bring themselves to shame by so foolish an interpretation. All things were created by him. He is therefore uncreated. In relation to this creation that Jesus did, there are three prepositions in verse 16. The third we will note later, but the two I draw your attention to at present are in verse 16, for by him. That's the first preposition, by him, all things were created. And then at the end of verse 16, all things were created by him. There again is a preposition. Now, in the English, our translators have used the same preposition, but in Greek, it's two different prepositions, two different words. And that's deliberate. Paul has deliberately changed it because he's expounding this. He's ruling out all doubts about the matter, and he's changing the prepositions. And it literally is, the first is, all things were created in him. In him. And then the second one is by him or through him were all things created. So two different prepositions, in him and by him or through him was everything made. And the change is deliberate so that Paul strengthens the truth that he alone is the creator of all things. This is very important. This is where we separate from the Jehovah's Witnesses. This is where we separate from all the Unitarians. Christ is not a creature. He is creator. The creation was created in him. He is the sphere of creation. In him we live and move and have our being. He is the arena who made the world. Everything is made in him. Everything is made through him. Everything is made by him. And because of him, this is who Jesus is. There is nothing outside of him. Nothing beyond him. All creation is in him. He is the very center of the universe. The first and only creative cause in him. And then everything's by him. He's the master architect. It was his hands. He was the agent. You will notice that these two prepositions form a bracket in verse 16. For by him were all things created. And then at the end, all things were created by him. This is more or less the same words with just the preposition changing once. And that those same words form a bracket. They enclose. What does all things mean? Is that literally everything? Is that literally all things? Yes. It's not enough for Paul to say just all things are made twice, just to write down all things he made twice, write that down. No. He wants to write that down twice, but he wants to bracket something between that all things to explain that all things, what he literally means. And Paul is describing creation in its various categories. All things were created by him that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. That's what I mean by all things. Literally everything. And so he divides it all up into the categories just to show us what the Lord Jesus Christ has made, what he's the creator of. I think there are two main divisions set forth. There is heaven and there is earth. That's where Paul begins. He begins with the cosmos. He begins with the whole fabric of the universe. The whole world of heaven and earth. And heaven here is plural, literally. That are in the heavens and that are in the earth. And the Hebrews considered there to be three heavens, and they're quite right. There's the atmospheric heavens where all the birds fly. There's the cosmic heavens where all the stars and planets are. And then there's the heaven of heavens where God's abiding place is. He made the heavens. We're so often told in the Bible that God is the creator of heaven and earth. How does the Bible begin? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And here's Paul. He knows Genesis 1, verse 1. And what's he saying? All things were made by him in the heaven and in the earth. Genesis 1, verse 1. This is him. This is the firstborn of every creature. Of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hand. And very often the psalmist and the people of God are always saying, our help's in the Lord. He made heaven and earth. He's a mighty creator. He can help us. He's all power. The Lord that made heaven and earth blesses us out of Zion. And he made, who's Christ? He's the maker of heaven and earth. You can't get any clearer than that. And Paul's not content to leave it there either. All things in the heavens and all things in the earth, that's fairly conclusive. But Paul must go on. And he has to add visible and invisible. And the order is right. He's been very selective. That's another way to look at the world, isn't it? Everything you can see quite a bit. Heaven and earth is much of it is visible. The visible is first named. It's the only occurrence of the word visible in the New Testament. But it's clear enough in its meaning. We can look upon creation, the world around us, the animals and the insects, and the birds and the planets and the stars and the sun and the moon. Every creature in the deep sea, as as we bring cameras down there and begin to discover them and to see them, as they become visible to our view, everything you ever meet, every new creature that might appear in the depths, we've never seen it before, but it's visible. He made it. All things visible. Everything that you'll ever see. But you know, there's so much more in creation than the visible. In fact, there's maybe far more invisible than visible, for all we know. Much of heaven of heavens is invisible to us. The highest heavens, where all the holy angels dwell and the spirits, the invisible spirits. He made them all. And then the unknown creatures that are in the depths that are invisible. We've never seen them. They're invisible to our eyes at the present. There's so much invisible to our eyes on God's creation. Electricity and magnetism and gravity and what other forces. He's made them all. They're all his creatures. And all invisible. But just because you don't see things doesn't mean things don't exist. There are many things that we don't see. A whole creation there. A third way of looking at things is in terms of their power. Whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. I think Paul particularly here is tying this in with the invisible. The agents of power, creatures that have thrones, creatures that have dominions and powers over others, creatures that form principalities and rulers. There's a whole world here we don't know anything about. This is the invisible world of the angels. From the highest archangel to the lowest and the most ugly of demons. Powers and authorities. The world of spirits. The Colossian church seemed particularly interested in the world of angels and spirits. They were interested in angels as we read through this epistle, we discover that. They may have been afraid of this world of powerful spirits. And some may have been thinking, does Jesus belong to this category? Does he belong to the category of the invisible spirits, the angelic world? No, he doesn't. He made it. It consists in him. It was made through him. There's no angel to be compared to Jesus Christ. There's no angel who can be trusted in for salvation. There's no angel in whom all the fullness of deity abides bodily, incarnate form. It's only Jesus, the icon of the invisible God, only Christ. Even the archangel himself are all under the dominion of Christ because he made them all. That's the first point. Christ, as the firstborn of every creature, is the creator of all things. But there are three remaining points, and I'll be more brief on these. Secondly, Christ, as the firstborn of every creature, created all things for himself. There's a third preposition there. Do you see that in verse 16? All things were created by him, and this is the expression, and for him. He made them for himself. This tells us not only that he has creative power to make all things, but he has sovereign pleasure, sovereign will, a sovereign desire to make them for himself. For himself. Just like those who are handy, they can make a boat. They make the boat for themselves. Or they might make a bookshelf, and they'll make it for themselves. Or they might be pleased to make it for somebody else. But it's always being made for someone. But the sovereign, there was no one else to make things for when he was there. So he just made it all for himself. For his glory.
He made everything for his own pleasure, for his own purpose.
If he were a mere creature, part of that there creation, he could not do this. This is Paul's interpretation of the title, the firstborn of every creature. Not the Jehovah Witnesses one. If he were a creature making all things, he would have to make them for God's glory, not for himself. Everything's to be done to the glory of God. Everything we do for the glory of God. Are we ought? And he makes the whole creation for himself, for his own divine glory.
He is God, and he creates for himself. In the Bible, this is only spoken of God himself, never of any creature. The Lord, Jehovah, hath made all things for himself. Do you think Paul maybe knew that verse in the Old Testament? Of course he did. He's coming to apply that to Jesus, for himself.
God says this people, this human race, and especially this redeemed humanity, this people have I made for myself. What did Paul say in Romans? He says, of him and through him and to him are all things. To whom be glory forever. Amen. So, he's the firstborn of all creation because he made everything for himself. Then thirdly, Christ, as the firstborn of every creature, is thus before all things. What do we have there in verse 17? And he is before all things. Now, Paul didn't have to say that. We would know that if he made all things, and all things are made by him, he must necessarily be before all things. But Paul wants to say it. He doesn't want the JWs to come along later on and just, you know, tear this all to shreds. So he's nailing it down under the pen of inspiration. He is pre-existent to creation. He is before all things. Before all things were made. This is a word of time and chronology. He's before the creation. Pre-existent, eternal creator. It is eternal pre-existence. Because not only is he before, he is before all created things. The world had a beginning. He commenced it. And before he commenced it, he was there. The Word was with God. And the Word made all things. Verse 17 is put very strongly by the Apostle. There is an actual fact, an emphatic pronoun. He himself is before all things. As if he himself alone, the uncreated creator eternal. What did the Lord Jehovah say in the Old Testament? I am the first. Does that mean he was made because he's the first? No. It means he's the first because he made all things. He's the first. He was there. He was pre-existent. I'm the first. Distinct from the creation. And the last too. And beside me there's no God. The first, not because first made, the first because before all things, the maker of all things. And Christ is the first and the last, as the book of the Revelation teaches us, the Alpha and the Omega. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him and through him. Remember, the Lord Jesus prayed to his Father,
O Father, glorify me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with you before the world was, before the creation, the eternal glory, the divine glory, the glory of thyself, the God glory, the glory that I had with you before I come into the world. And then lastly, Christ as the firstborn not only created all things, but also by him everything is continually held together. This is a further thought here at the end of verse 17. He is before all things, everything he made, all things he are after him. And then it adds, by him everything consists. Now this is different. This is a different thought. Because Jesus is not only the creator, he's the sustainer. Everything is consisting. Why is it consisting? Why do the planets not go away off and the earth disintegrate and decay? It's because he's holding it all together. It's consisting. It's not enough, you know, to create a world. The creator has to keep it functioning, keep it consisting together, maintain the laws within the created system. He has to do all that. Don't think it's an easy thing to be a creator. Don't think a creature could be a creator. May the Jehovah Witnesses are foolish to think that a creature could be a creator, and a creature could maintain the creation and maintain himself. That's folly. That's not what Paul is teaching. Apart from the continuous sustaining activity of the firstborn of every creature, nothing would be held together. He continues to uphold, as the apostle says, all things by the word of his power. He bears the pillars of the universe up so that they do not decay or collapse. They have to be maintained. They have to be kept. You know, we make things, maybe a car engine, and we all know that has to be looked after and maintained. And, you know, what is the world like? What's a creation like? Especially when sin entered. And the Lord has to keep it intact until all the church is brought in and redeemed. No creature could do that job. Only our Christ. And so the creation, everything that he made, stands and remains created because of Christ. So he didn't only create things, he keeps it created. What does all of this mean? Why does Paul tell us this about Jesus? Well, it is to inspire faith and confidence in him. That's why. He's saying you can trust him. You Colossians, what's this you're listening to about other angels and, you know, different degrees of knowledge and going higher up in knowledge through the knowledge of angels and spirits? What are you talking about? There's only Christ. There's only the icon of the invisible God. There's only the firstborn of all the creation. There's only him. His kingdom is mighty. You've been brought out of the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of evil spirits. You've been delivered. You're in the kingdom now of God's dear Son. And this is who he is. He's mighty. He's omnipotent. He's the creator. He's the all-sufficient king in whom we have redemption. He's a complete redeemer because this is who he is. And that blood that he shed has efficacy. Redemption through his blood because this is who he is. This divine person. And the forgiveness of sins is a real forgiveness of sins because of who he is. This is why Paul goes on to say this. You have to join verses 13 and 14 to verse 15 and 16 onwards. And then in verse 20 he says, making peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. He's the all-sufficient reconciler of the world to himself, to God. He's able to do that because he knows the world that he made. He's the creator. He can come into it and fix it in his incarnation and death. He's the only one who could do that. All things have been reconciled unto God by him. The only redeemer, the only reconciler, the only forgiver of sins, the only king of glory, the only one who has the redemptive power, because he has the creative power and the authority. That's why Paul says this. You don't need angels, and you don't need saints. You just need Jesus. Jesus alone.